Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. This show is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/ElderScrollsLoreCast.
Robots Radio presents...
Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, a place where the Elder Scrolls community can come together to discuss the boundaries of our knowledge about the universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom or Robots, and I'm here, as usual, with my good buddy, Lotus of Doom. How's it going, Lotus? How you been?
Things are going very well. We got our new patch on console, so we're all caught up to you PC folk again.
Hey, welcome to the club. I'm glad we could beta test it for you.
Yeah, come on in. No, I appreciate that. We got to skip over the missing CP bug, so that's all fixed for us. Really appreciate that one.
You're welcome. It's a tough job to, you know, take that hit, but it's nice to get things a little bit earlier.
I'm sure the add-ons soften the blow.
It does a little bit. We're back. We've got all these weird and wacky things to go through the last 2 months or so that we've been doing this, and we're getting close to the end of this. Each week, Lotus and I kind of send each other some messages and we're like, okay, what other weird and wacky stuff is there? Can we dig up another one? This week we've managed to find another one. There might be another few still. This week we're talking about the dream sleeve. And this is one of those concepts that I wouldn't fault you if I was to say dream sleeve and you'd go and you would just respond with the wizard sleeve, and I would go, no, that's a Borat joke. The dream sleeve. It's one of those things that it doesn't come up very much. Can you think about the last time?
Or is super fleshed out.
This is one of those things that just doesn't come up very much at all. When was the last time you remember talk of the dream sleeve? And I know for you, it's probably going back to something like Battlespire.
I was going to say probably 2 months ago, right before I finished Battlespire, that would be the last time.
But other than that, can you think of a time that the dream sleeve came up in a quest line? Or
I'm trying to remember it being mentioned.
It's very rare.
Yeah, it is. If I'm not totally mistaken, which I might be, I'm actually trying to find it specifically, and I'm not seeing it on the UESP, so maybe I am crazy.
It's on the UESP. There is a lore article for it.
There is. It's small, but I actually thought there was a Argonian reference to them needing to go into the dream sleeve for somebody briefly, like one of the shamans. But they don't really go into it too much, or it could have been something else that they were doing. But I thought they went into the dream sleeve form. Either way, rare is the correct answer rare. On how often we hear about it.
So the dream sleeve, people are probably like, what the heck are they even talking about?
Yeah, well, they're just making stuff up as they go now.
They're just making up words, and they're just coming up. I joke about this on occasion, but it would be funny to start a blog where we just make crap up. It's just like super obscure Elder Scrolls lore, and we just like Photoshop weird pictures of things and just make up lore, and then we just keep adding it until eventually somebody shuts us down, and then that stuff just ends up proliferating into the internet for the next 20 years, and then people start referencing it and being like, no, this is a real thing.
It's out there. See what gets picked up.
Yeah, it's out there. This is a real thing in the game somewhere. And
I heard it, so I saw it on Reddit. It must be real.
It must be real. Here's a picture of it. Yeah. This Guar has Danny DeVito's face. No,
exactly.
It's not real. Okay, so the dream sleeve is a concept that can be traced all the way back to Arena and Battlespire. This is something that has been in the lore since the very beginning. There's been references to it, and it's not very fleshed out. It has a little bit to do with a concept that has something to do with where souls go when they die, or where they come from when things are born. And it also has a little bit to do with sort of like an internet for mages to use to communicate across.
Yeah,
it's
that's
some sort of weird combination.
That's the one that I think is the weirdest part about it.
Yes.
Is like the, yeah, no, it's kind of like Elder Scrolls email or mm-hmm. Elder Scrolls. Why it's like, oh yeah, here's my I message through the dream sleeve. So it's, I guess it's my D message.
Right, right. So here, so we're gonna dig into this a little bit, because those seem to be the two realms in which Dreamsleeve gets brought up, are these two kinds of rough concepts. And of course, when you're talking about souls dying or communications over distances with mages, that opens up a whole realm of other things and ways that you can talk about those things when it comes to Elder Scrolls, because now you're talking about souls and afterlife, which, okay, are we talking Oblivion, Aetherius, Sovereign Guard, the Far Shores, the Hist? Like, that could be so many different things based on so many different cultures. And then you're talking about magic and the where does the magic come from? What kind of magic? You know, all of that, you know, Magnus, the power of Aetherius, like all of those kinds of things. Where does actual magic come from? So many different things this can possibly touch on. But we're going to try and consolidate this into just some concepts that we do know about and some theories. And we're even going to, I talk about Eremithius a lot in these weird and wacky episodes. We had him on our show a little while ago. He touched on this concept on one of his episodes, and I'm even going to quote him based on his blog coming up as well on some of the things that he said on one of his episodes and some of the things that he pulled to be a little bit grounded on this. But then we're just going to see what else is out there. So here we go. Let's just talk about what the UESP has on the Dreamsleeve. So here we go. We're starting in a little bit more grounded spot. The Dream Sleeve, also known as the Dreaming Sleeve, is an obscure and rarely mentioned concept or construct. Two widely disparate functions have been ascribed to it, though they are not necessarily mutually exclusive. Dream Sleeve transmission has been mentioned as a method of communication which has been used to contact those across vast distances. The Dream Sleeve has been described as a conduit for sending special transmissions. Special transmissions. I love when things are described as special.
Yeah, just
it's like,
you know, it's not normal. It's special.
Yeah, it's like the word you use when you don't know what else to say. Kind of like, oh, that's nice. It's like, that's
nice.
You just didn't have another word to use, so you just put nice there, right? It's a special transmission. Well, that doesn't even mean anything. used by magicians and imperial clerks. To reach it, one must have at least part of their brain constantly meditating. So at least part of your brain. How do you make part of your brain meditate?
It's like when you go 50% asleep.
Yeah, it's like what dolphins do that. Like they put half their brain asleep while the other half of the brain still swims around or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. So they don't drown, I believe it is.
Yeah. So part of the brain constantly meditating as one aspect of the conduit is its ability to carry images and concepts not yet, quote, real. And this is reference. This actually has a reference point in some of the lore. So whatever that means, it is utilized as a rapid means of magical communication related to telepathy and mimospores.
Crickets. Yep.
Yep. Mimospores.
You know when you were just saying that you say special or nice is a when you don't have anything else to say?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Mimo. <There's mine.
laughs> Yes. Okay. So you want a place where mimospore is used in some of these documents that are referenced?
Yes. So, please use mimospore in a sentence. Mm-hmm.
Guess who wrote this document? The Numantia Intercept. Guess who the author of this one was?
I'm sure it's probably somebody that's well known in the community. a lot of fans.
Michael Kirkbride.
I have opinions.
So, yep. This little paragraph begins. The moths closest to my ears and lips once served under Belsharza, the bull, during their corporeal stage. You know thereby the extent of my allegiance. Please give my permission to herd at this, to herd at the Elder Council, even if only by Dusel Mimospore. For those listening, I'm turning and looking at directly at the camera knowingly, like I'm on The Office. All right. We're going to look up the next one, right? So this one is called Dominion Prison Textract. Dominion Prism Textract, producing Tower Scrolls, Dream Sleeve stored Mimo Spore, and tangible Magickas, or entering unto Mundex Tearing for inspection and other purposes. Yep. Okay. So that clearly you can get the gist of where this is going, right? Mimo Spore. Let's find another one. And this is the third reference. Wait, this document doesn't said is referenced in here, but it's not. UASB, you got to clean this one up. This one's supposed redacted. To have a reference. This one's not actually referenced. What are you doing, UASB? I trusted you. I trusted you on this.
I trusted you with my Mimo Spores.
I trusted you with my Mimo Spores. Well, there were three references, I thought, to Mimo Spore, but I guess not.
Yeah, it seems like there are actually two.
There are only two. And who knows what a Mimo Spore is? I guess it's Memo Spore? Maybe it's transmits information?
To not be completely dismissive, I assume it's faulty Mimo Spores on the USB.
Faulty Mimo Spores.
My assumption, since I don't think that this is actual, again, I don't want to sound like a total douche, but it's a Memo Spore. So it's a biology spore that it's like some type of biological spore that it's like transmitting data. It's just like, that would be my guess.
It's an email. It's a biological email.
It's two words just smooshed together to make like something that, I mean, to be fair, Mimo Spore is a really fun word, so I guess that actually is pretty good. I'm fine with that.
Sure. We'll just let it be what it is.
Yeah, we'll just tuck that Mimo Spore away into our notebooks for later.
Here's what I think it is. It is like a cell that you can imprint data into, like a message. Yeah. And then you can send that cell to some other mage who can then read the data off of that cell or spore. It's like if you could imagine, you could take a spore and rearrange the cells or something in it in a shape of words, and then you can then read it. I bet that is something like that, right?
So yeah, and I guess at that point, you know, it brings it to the all brings it down to, are all of the races actually fungi in the Elder Scrolls?
New weird and wacky lore. All the races are fungi. All right, let's continue, because this actually is not a very long document, but we've definitely been sidetracked here.
There isn't all that much on this.
On to the third paragraph. During the Imperial Simulacrum, Daedric Prince Mehrunes Dagon's forces invaded Nocturne's realm of Shade Perilous on their way to taking the Battle Spire. So, of course, we know when this happened, right? During the game, the Battle Spire. As a result, Nocturnal Lieutenant Jaciel?
Jaciel, I believe, is how they say it in game. I'm trying to remember exactly, but Jaciel Morgan, I believe, is how they say it.
Yeah, Morgan fell into a deep despair and drove her own spirit into the Dream Sleeve. This left the Daedra physically present, but mostly unresponsive, as if in a deep sleep. Only the self-sacrifice of her servant. Oh, here we go. Dayanara? Catrice?
Dayanara.
Dayanara? Catrice?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how they pronounced it.
Okay. Was enough to awaken her. So sends her spirit, soul, into the Dream Sleeve. She goes into like a deep sleep. Somebody was able to pull her out of it.
It's a little weird, because I made jokes when kind of regaling this whole thing, and it was it is a weird quest, and it gets really dark. I didn't want it to be completely misinterpreted on the episode of Tales that we do go into this, because this quest line was completely off the rails in Battle Spire. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's both goofy and really, really kind of sort of real world dark at the same time. So prior to that episode, I actually added a bit of an addendum where I was like, yeah, the joke, like the jokey nature of this is not actually about the problem of mental illness. It's like the very not pulling punches, bad writing in Battlespire at this section. It's just bad. Like, it's just really bad, in my opinion. Sleep is not quite what... During this quest, she essentially is pouting and having a tantrum. And it is just complaining how sad she is about everything and that we should go away and she won't help us because she's too sad about it.
Oh. And
so, okay. Again, slight disclaimer, just if you know, mental illness is like a trigger for you, like, the solution is to make her friend commit suicide.
Oh.
So that it makes her even more sad that she gets so upset she snaps out of it, essentially.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. And the dialogue, because the whole dialogue in the game is goofy, off the wall, ridiculous nonsense. Like, my character is like cracking jokes in the middle of this. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so stupid. And then like they do it. I'm like, that's not the direction I thought this was going.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when that happens, it does, it pulls her out of the dream sleeve and snaps her out of it pretty much. And she hates you because a topic that's, well, I wish they would go more into with Elder Scrolls. They make reference to the fact that Daedra don't die. They're obviously put back to their like Azure Plasm state. And then over time, they're kind of reconstructed. They make reference to the fact that that is basically way worse than the human's concept of dying, even though they're immortal. Because it's an incredibly jarring and painful process to which it saps a bit of their sanity every time it happens. Hence why it seems like Daedra kind of become more feral or vicious. And it's reference. It's not direct. I picked up the fact that I was like, wait, so that's basically giving this like cool background story that it's like, yeah, that's a different form of hell to be reconstructed like that.
Yeah. And to lose your sanity and go through like torture over and over and over and over.
And
yeah.
So as a, you know, as a thing, her friend is now in this and she'll eventually come back one day, but she blames you for that. But at the same time, she becomes cognizant of the fact that she's been pulled back out of the dream sleeve. And then it turns into a buddy cop thing where she's like, well, I'll totally help you when you need me. And I'm like, okay. And then in the final fight against Mehrunes Dagon, she just pops up topless all the time for whatever reason. They're all just naked in this game.
It's because 90s.
Yeah, because of the 90s. Right. She just pops up heroically in the background to help you beat Mehrunes Dagon. I was like, wow, that was a roller coaster of directional changes during that quest. So that's just a little like Battlespire reference from my take on the Dream Sleeve, because that was one of the few times I've ever heard of it. And I actually had a slightly different interpretation, it looks like, than the UESP did for that quest.
That's interesting because, I mean, and that's part of why I think this topic is kind of wild and wacky, is because the topic isn't handled directly. It is referenced through the quest lines. It's
very tangential.
It is a secondary reference. You're dealing with a thing that is saying like, this thing is then going to the dream sleeve, or the, you know, spirit is being sent to the dream sleeve, or this person is communicating through the dream sleeve. It's a secondary thing that we're not getting a lot of actual information about.
Yeah.
So So that's interesting, because I haven't played through Battlespire. And of course, as you have mentioned, it is a torturous task to try to do so through today's hardware and with our, you know, experience playing games today as opposed to what was back then.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons not to play Battlespire.
right. So the last paragraph in this says, according to the teachings of Mankar Cameron, mortals leave the dreaming sleeve of birth the same, unmantled save for the symbiosis of our mothers. Let me read that sentence again and let me chime in with what you think about this actually means. Sure. Of course, this is Mankar Cameron, so this is a little bit cryptic, but mortals leave the dreaming sleeve of birth the same. So let's break this down. Mortals leave the dreaming sleeve of birth. So we all come from the dreaming sleeve.
Yep.
So the origin of our souls, or the thing that inhabits our bodies at birth, comes from the dreaming sleeve, and we all come from it the same. So our souls somehow originate in basically the same form, the same, mm-hmm. unmantled, save for the symbiosis with our mothers. So the spirit that comes from the Dreamy Sleeve is, I would say, identical to any other spirit. The personality, the shape it takes when it leaves the Dreamy Sleeve is like an empty vessel.
Yeah.
And then when it enters our body, it is through the symbiosis with our mother, with which it starts to take form and personality.
Yeah, you become you essentially in the womb would be the idea that I see out of this. Otherwise, like just for I'm trying to think of like what's a good reference for a soul. But picture a wisp. You got the little blue floaty wisp. Like, okay, for the sake of example, here's your wisp version coming out of the Dream Sleeve. You go and you're just generic. I don't know. Incorporeal matter, so to speak,
right
going to your destination, and then you become you and form again once you're growing,
right?
Type of deal.
If you were to stop the transmission of the soul to the body before it reaches the body, you would not be able to determine that specific spirit or soul from any other spirit or soul, because it has not yet reached
the
body.
They're all interchangeable.
It would be interchangeable. It would be an empty vessel. It would look like any other spirit trapped in a soul gem before it reached a body or something like that. If you were able to trap it in a soul gem, which I suppose would be the closest thing that you would be able to use with which to catch it out of the Dream Sleeve.
Right.
Speaking in world.
Or going back into the Dream Sleeve,
Going back into the Dream Sleeve, it would then take on, it would match the form of the body with which it came out of.
Right.
I would suppose.
I would think. And
this
then,
is getting into some of the later concept stuff that we're going to talk about. But
right.
Yeah. So then the last sentence, this one's interesting. It is through the abandonment of the mother that mortals therefore enter the domain of Lord Dagon, the Prince of Destruction. And I think this is because it's Mankar Cameron and he worships.
I just love that left arm. And
then
in swoops.
Yeah. And of course, we all should be worshiping Mehrunes Dagon, and therefore we should be part of his realm, blah, 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 blah.
But that's his skew.
Yeah, that's skewed. And then there's some notes here at the end. It says unofficial fan fiction and developer texts describe the Dream Sleeve as a process related to the cycle of death and rebirth, whereby souls are recycled within the Mundus. And these are, of course, unofficial sources. There's a whole big old document about all this stuff where people have talked about this outside of the games. And as we've talked about before, until things happen in the games, they aren't necessarily considered canon. They're considered potentially canon, but they aren't necessarily canonized. And then below that, it says the Elder Scrolls Arena, the former apprentice to Jagar Tharn, Rhea Silmane, communicates to the Eternal Champion through his dreams. Tharn eventually hijacks this connection, referring to it as a dream bridge. He says that he will send his minions through time and space to the Eternal Champion via this connection, suggesting a connection between the dream bridge and the universe itself. What do you think about that?
That's that seems like a lot added to what I remember when I played and completed Arena. So Rhea Silmane, absolutely, that's basically your guide on how the game starts. For the time, it's really kind of interesting that she comes in with she's got her own FMV. FMV in quotes.
Yes, right.
She's basically your floaty ghost companion and gives you directions, and every time you complete an area and make a little progress to when you need to progress to the next area to find out which of the piece of the Staff of Chaos you need following and which region you have to go to find it, she will contact you when you go to sleep. So that's totally a thing. Yes, that on point. And then later in the game, as you get near the end of the game or toward the end of the story, Jaeger starts coming to you more frequently. I mean, he kind of always does have the same, like, I don't know, headset communication with you that she does. And he's like, well, now I know where you are. And I'm going to say, I never got the impression that it was like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, have this dream. I mean, I guess you could, like you said, it's not canon, but it could be. That to me strikes me more as just like, okay, somebody just came up with it. Enemies just appear all the time. So it just struck me as like, okay, he knows where I am. He just sent in a bunch of things. Portals are a thing in the Elder Scrolls. So it doesn't even seem peculiar that you could use a portal to get around. Like this dream bridge concept seems like, yeah, that's, I don't say that. I don't say that that's not a thing. It's just like, I don't know. That just seems like something somebody else made up to add to it rather than just being like, yeah, they portaled in to come kill you. And then they didn't.
Right. Right. Yeah. So,
Who knows? I never actually considered Rhea contacting you via like a dream sleeve in that game, because that's how that game starts. And that's how you get your directions to continue the quest. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, maybe they were like, well, we need a way for like this distant communication thing to work.
Yeah.
And maybe it was like an early concept of like, where does the magic flow? Maybe this concept of like a layer of magic underlying everything.
Yep.
And it was some early justification for that, which eventually became something more than that, or at least different from that.
Yeah, they seem like they've fleshed out other ideas of Magicka more than the concept of the dream sleeve. It's, you know, it's just not as much a thing that they've grasped and run with in the series, but they also haven't gotten rid of it either. So, you know, it's just... More of it seems to be like you could make it speculative, like that's the reason for this, or it could also just be it's Magicka, like so.
Yeah. So there's, it's like there's the two pieces to it, right? There's the communication thing, which seems to be less and less and less. But the piece of it that I think is most interesting is the whole
soul bit.
The soul bit, and I think that's the most confusing side to all of this. Because it seems like there's a lot that's very dependent on who you worship or what your beliefs are, or some combination of those two things. And we've talked about this before. You know, like if you worship a specific Daedra, somehow that takes precedent over the fact that you're a Nord or something, you know, like, so if you are a Nord, then supposedly you're supposed to go to Sovngarde. But if you make some sort of pact with a Daedra, then that somehow takes precedent over the fact that you're a Nord. And then that Daedra can swoop in and claim your soul. Now, if you're not a Nord and you don't have a pact with a Daedra, or you're not a Argonian and your soul goes back to the Hist, or you're not a Redguard, or you're not a Khajiit and you're going to the Far Sands, you know, you're not some specific race that has some specific afterlife concept, then maybe the dream sleeve is where your soul goes, or maybe the dream sleeve is a general concept for the thing that connects all of these afterlives and communicates the movement of the souls.
This is so here's my take on the best I can do, because you kind of touched on it right there. Mm-hmm. What if the dream sleeve is like your travel network to and from your afterlife of choice, or not choice in some cases where you botched a bargain? Say, for example, like the dream sleeve is totally there, and that's a thing. And when you leave the normal realm, you basically hop on the dream sleeve. You can just think of it as like a subway.
It's like your little
network.
It brings
you to your destination. Yeah. Same thing when you're being brought back. It's like, oh, okay, well, now we're coming, you know, we've got to get out of our far shores, for example. It's like, well, back into the dream sleeve, and you're just kind of this misty goop or whatever you want to be, and then you're projected off the dream sleeve and back into your, you know, soon to be parent type of thing. That's always, at least in regards to that, the only thing I can really think of. And then my thought was, with this kind of back and forth happening throughout time and everything, maybe the idea of the email network that they have on Nern between mages is basically people just piggybacking on it. And the reference point I had where I made the joke, it's like, well, it's not an I message, it's like a D message for the dream sleep message. Right. Well, one thing to that, which is kind of you can send a text message and it goes through as a piece of data. iMessages, unless they've changed how they work, they actually go using data that's already being sent and it piggybacks on it. So if the souls are traveling anyways, maybe using the dream sleeve as that is just like, the reason we can tap into it is because this is all happening. All we're doing is piggybacking our signal on top of
it. It's like throwing a leaf into a river. The leaf is just gonna go with the river.
Right. We're just tossing it in. So like that's the best I've been able to piece together for what I think a dream sleeve is.
Okay. Yeah. So these are all fun ideas. So we've got to take a break. We've got to thank our patrons and we've got to talk about some of the new gear you can get as part of the Patreon. I brought it up last week, but I've got to mention it again for those people who didn't catch it. And then I've got some stuff from Aramithius because he talked about this on a previous episode. So I want to quote some of the stuff he said, which I think is going to match some of this, but it also brings up some other questions. And then I have another article I found that I want to reference to that brings up some other questions as well. So stay tuned for that stuff. We'll be right back.
The skies are marked with numberless sparks, each a fire, and every one a sign.
Hey, Simone.
Yes, Chad.
What would you say is your favorite bad movie?
Oh, where would I start? But probably at Zombie Strippers.
Oh, yeah, which we've actually done on our podcast, Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast. This is a podcast where we take some of the worst movies ever created, and even some of those movies that you might have thought were brilliant, but still got a bad critic score, and we say nice things about them, because you know what? Someone put the effort in, so we're gonna be there, fighting in their corner.
Absolutely, Chad. Even if the movie was total garbage, there is some makeup artist that gave it their all, and we're here to recognize that.
Exactly. And with really fun themes every week, such as National Treasure Week, Weddings Week, movies with Jeremy Irons and dragons in them. How could you go wrong by joining us every Tuesday and Thursday for some optimism in your life?
And like we say at the end of every episode, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.
We love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Goodbye.
So patrons, you guys are freaking amazing. All 47 of you, including our tier 5 patrons, Noodle Al Dente and Daniel O. Thank you for supporting the Patreon. And for all of you guys who are tier 4 patrons or tier 3 patrons, you guys are now getting stickers. So every 3 months that you stay on as a tier 3 patron, you are getting stickers that I am designing custom for you guys that will never be available outside of Patreon, that include the Daedric symbols with special custom made by me textures underneath the symbols that you can use with the show logo built into them. And then tier 4 and tier 5 and tier 6 patrons will be getting t-shirts every 3 months that you stay on as a kind of a loyalty thing. And this is built into the Patreon. This isn't any extra cost. None of the tiers went up in price. I just added this in here for you guys as a thank you for helping to support the show. So thank you to you, to all of you guys. And if you aren't a patron, or if you are one of the lower tiers and you'd like to upgrade, you're welcome to do so. You can get onto this right now and it'll get you set up for these loyalty t-shirt setups. And the thing is that these shirts are never going to be available on the other store, on the Robots Radio store. They're only available to patrons. And once they're off the Patreon and we're on to the next set of shirts, then they won't be coming back. So if you, and we're going to go through the Daedric Princes in order. So if you want to get specific Daedric Princes, like Hermaeus Moore is going to come up. We're going to go alphabetically through them. We're going to start with A and we're just going to keep going. So if you want to get them, you got to sign up now in order to make sure you get them. So thank you to everybody who helps support the show. If we've done anything to help you get through your workday, your workout, your commute to work, or you're working on your autobiography, then you know what? Then just, you know, go check out patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast and see what kinds of things you can get. All the pictures are there on one of the posts. You just got to scroll down, get to the post with all the images. I think you guys will enjoy those. But thank you to everyone who helps support the show. You are what helps me to be able to do this as a full-time thing. So I genuinely, genuinely appreciate it. Thank you, guys. All right, let's go back and talk about more of this dream sleeve stuff because it's super weird. Here we go.
Yes, yes, you're entirely brilliant. Conquering madness and all that. Blah, 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 blah.
So Aramithius, who we've talked about before, written in Uncertainty, has an episode specifically about souls, and he's talking about all sorts of stuff about souls. It's called What is a Soul in the Elder Scrolls? Go look up his podcast, listen to this episode in full. Has a lot to do with souls, but there's a specific section where he discusses the dream sleeve, and I want to call out some of the stuff that he says here. So he starts this section off and he says, we hear about the dream sleeve very rarely. That several in the fandom have taken to be the place where souls go when people die, either in the process of getting there or on arrival, kind of like we talked about. Mm-hmm. They're stripped of memories and personality, becoming soul energy of a sort. This is then probably given to new souls as they are born. Mankar Cameron talks about the dreaming sleeve of birth in the commentaries on the Mysterium Xarxes. The distributed soul possibly helps us here. Quote, though it is typical to think of it as the Adric essence at the core of every mortal. So Adric essence at the core of every mortal. This idea that we descended from the Aedra, right?
Mm-hmm.
The elves often talk about that. I advise him to consider the soul in another light, scaled like the wings of the moth, and to imagine it comprised of vessels filled through the events of mortal existence. On release from life on Nern, it is our belief that a kind of dissipation begins, and it is then that the moths learn the song of a soul's phyrons, which are shepherded under our care and protected generation after generation. So this brings up the concept that when the soul returns to the dream sleeve, and regardless of how all the other parts of this work, whether that takes you to Sovereign Guard or whatever, like let's say this is a network, this is the river that delivers you your soul to wherever it goes.
Yep.
You the things that you pick up in existence in your lifetime start to evaporate. And you start to lose pieces of this,
mm-hmm.
this concept that like you start to lose pieces of yourself. And it's almost like being in the dream sleeve starts to cleanse you of you, the you that is you starts to disappear or starts to break apart. It starts to evaporate potentially. What do you think about this concept?
I mean, that's. It totally could work because, like, based on what I had mentioned earlier, this is pretty much very similar. And adding to that, it's gives an explanation as to why, you know, when coming. Well, I guess we wouldn't really know because we don't talk to a lot of people. Like, well, I guess we talk to ghosts in the game at points, but it doesn't seem like they actually made it to where they were going. So never mind. I'm going to go back to what I was saying.
There's another concept about ghosts that I'm going to bring up in a little bit.
Yeah. But the idea is, as they're going to there, but more so when they're coming back, why you wouldn't remember your previous versions of yourself. So like having that stuff get stripped away totally. Yeah. All right. That works for me. Like I could see that working out. I mean, even if there's like, you know, no reason for it, you could even come up with a reason for it. Maybe that maybe the memories provide the energy to move along. It could have something like that. Like there could be a reason why stuff is stripped off as you go, other than just we don't want you to remember in the, you know, in the coming and the going. But yeah, totally seems reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he also talks about how part of it could be that the water leaks out like into the ocean. So the dream sleeve itself being the ocean. So the soul empties slowly out into the greater ocean. And so you have all of it.
Everything
spilling.
Is very liquid and tonally based in right. The Elder Scrolls. So again, that totally like seems plausible.
Right. And even something like there's, and I don't want to read the whole article here, but he even says that something about ghosts. Where was it? Ghost. He even says, here it is. If you, the original memories, the original water from the vessel is mingled with the ocean and you can't access them anymore. That's perhaps how we get memories that can persist in ghosts that haven't fully evaporated yet. Memories becoming water, which is a representation of the dream sleeve. So this idea that like a ghost, oftentimes when you come across ghosts in the games, they're deeply troubled, but sometimes they don't even remember why. It's like these apparitions right. of the self that aren't, they're still kind of connected to reality, but aren't fully even aware of what they're connected to necessarily. They're still just not fully here, but they're not fully there yet. They're just kind of in between. They're stuck. So you have concepts like that. So he goes on and touches on this a little bit more with some of these other concepts and makes some other references, but I'm going to leave that where it is. I'm going to let you guys go listen to that, the rest of that episode, if you want to dig into some of that stuff and the rest of the souls piece of it. The other thing that I wanted to get to here is an article by Colonel Killaby, and this comes from colonel-killa-b.tumblr.com. This is a post, and I found this very interesting, and this is where we're gonna end the episode, but this is a fairly long post, and I want to get through the whole thing. So give me your thoughts on this, and chat, feel free to chime in with your thoughts on this as well. So here we go. The dream sleeve in Tamriel isn't well understood, but we see its effects in every game. Ghosts show its existence plainly. The act of recycling a soul the way a computer associates a file and is no longer recognized or readable by the file, and then eventually another file is stored in its place. So the two analogies here, souls and computer, like the idea of storage.
Okay.
Recycling a file, like it, when you delete a file, you're emptying that space, and then you can restore something in that same slot, like on a hard drive. Abandoning the analogy, souls come in at least two parts. And I think this is interesting. The essence and the spirit. Unless forced apart, the spirit is slowly eroded away by the dream sleeve until nothing but the essence remains. Nords are saved by being stored in Sovereign Guard, their spirits, if worthy, while their essence remains. So think of the essence as like the shape, the construct, and the spirit as being the thing that fills it.
Okay.
So the essence is like the shape of the soul or spirit, and then the spirit is the thing that fills it, the personality that comes into it through life. And that's right. The inside part is the part that evaporates, right? It is possible that Kine, the kiss at the end, when sending the spirit to Sovereign Guard, forcibly cuts them from this world like a grim reaper with a scythe, leaving strands, the roots here. These roots are remnants, bits of data that remain from the whole. Echoes, the same echoes that ghosts are, but instead of being the result of slow decay, erosion, they are what's left of what is preserved. So in this sense...
Oh. Okay.
A ghost is kind of the remainder of what's lopped off on death.
All right. Wouldn't that leave us with a lot more ghosts floating around, though?
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah. So it goes on.
Okay.
This is how Olaf One Eye is both a Draugr and in Sovereign Guard. He even is aware of his Draugr form when you defeat it. There's at least three different types of Draugr. The dead ones that stay to guard tombs of their own free will, like Olaf, with traces of their past selves, of what was with base instincts and knowledge. Thumes, draconic fighting skills, the Atmorans that are not actually dead, and those made of necromancers of today. Olaf is one that remains because Kine did the separation of soul and spirit, not the dream sleeve. This could even be intentional, leaving traces of heroes and other spirits to help them. Soul trapping is another means of forcibly cutting away a spirit from its essence rather than properly unraveling the soul via dream sleeve, making it possible to have items like Potima's wolf amulet affect her from its essence without it containing the spirit. Or the Amulet of Kings, which holds the will of Akatosh and previous emperors without actually holding their spirits. This wouldn't be unusual of Kine. She's dealt with construction of at least two individuals we know of, Pelennol and Morehouse. It's well within her sphere to forcibly manipulate souls in this way. And Nords aren't the only ones that can be preserved. It's simply easier for them to wander around Nirn in dead states because of their unique attachment to death via shore.
Okay.
it's kind of an interesting take on it. I know we're going weird and wacky, so that's why I had to include this one. It's kind of out there, but it's interesting.
It's creative.
Aside from Oblivion or Sovereign Guard, the Dunmer have created a fascinating and effective means to preserve their ancestors via their ancestral spirit rituals to bind them to Nirn, I suspect, keep them from being recycled so that their intact selves can help those that remain. So we know there's a bunch of ghosts in Morrowind, right?
Yeah.
Like the ghosts, like the Dunmer and ghosts go together really well.
Yeah, they literally make fences out of their grandparents.
Yes. Ghosts and wraiths, etc., however, are corrupt, slowly deleted files that forget themselves as time progresses, fading away into a blank slate to be written over anew. Think about how wraiths, these twisted, tormented souls, and how they look and sound distorted, even missing legs. I like to think their torment created a will strong enough to withstand the dream sleeve, but only partially. Computer analogies work great for Tamriel because to me, it's all just a reference to the world existing digitally. Chim is the act of modding a console command and console commanding the world via us player characters. Godhead, the dream, are those that hold the world in their thoughts, imagination, the developers, role players. And Coda literally had TES in a computer world with internet and embodied hackers, internet surfers, etc. It's symbolism for the world existing in digital form. Matrix level shit. So anyway, that went into Coda, and I know you love that stuff. But
yeah, it's the greatest.
Right.
Big fan.
But it's, you know, we're talking weird and wacky here.
To be fair, based on that theory, that totally syncs up. So like if you want to add Coda into like, ooh, I like the idea of Coda, like this is a thing that I'm a fan of. Totally. It's funny. I was kind of thinking that along the way too, when people were, when these different parts were making references to like digital parallels to things.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I'm thinking of is like the digitals in Coda. It's like, oh, well, this is like pre-times for that, where it just becomes more overt as you go later down the line with how technology has advanced so much in whatever it is, the ninth era of the whatever, that was sure. Kind of a creative little romp at the end there. I've never thought of that way, but I'm down.
Yeah, you know, it's just a different way of considering it, especially being a little bit more code focused. This yes. idea that like, okay, if this is a stream of communication, this is code. This is the way that all of these things are communicating through code. Maybe this is just another way to look at it, but it's just an idea. There aren't a lot of hard references here. It's more of a creative take on it. So sure. Of course, you know,
but I mean, you know, to be fair, with a grain of salt. Even our other ones were kind of just creative takes on what little we have described from the game itself.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And I think that's, I don't know that we're going to get much of a hard and fast explanation here. Like so much about the afterworld is, there's so much vagary around it. And what I find interesting is that you actually experience some of it. And this kind of opens up other topics, so I don't want to go too far down this path. But in Skyrim, you see Sovereign Guard.
Right. You do.
You go there. Like, yeah. There are...
Dramatic fight there.
Right. And there are quests in other games where you go and experience some of the things that happen in what appear to be the places you go when you die. Whether that is a Realm of Oblivion that you're supposed to end up in when you're dead. Or, you know, heck, even the beginning of ESO. You end up in Molag Bal's realm with these, you know, soul shriven, which are, you know, these dead beings that whose souls were sucked out, but they themselves are still stuck there in some form of being dead, just without their souls. But they themselves know who they are. You know who you are. You're a soul shriven. You're still you.
Right.
But are you you without a soul? Like, how does that even work? What does that even mean? You know, like, is there another you that's your soul out there but without a body? Are you now in two places at the same time somehow? Like, how does that even work? So there's so much about the concept of being alive or dead in this universe that is just not clear at all. And they've played so fast and loose with it over so many games now that we just don't know. So to play fast and loose with something like the Dreamsleeve, it's just another piece of that puzzle that I mean, we're going to have to clean it. We would need some very, very distinct insight into what is hard and fast with this stuff before we even get any real concrete anything about the Dreamsleeve. But I don't think we're going to get that, because as soon as you start talking about the nature of death, we are talking about the nature of belief about death. And now we're talking about subjectivity when it comes to religious thought.
Right.
And who's to say, you know, like, if you're the Dragonborn, is your experience in Sovereign Guard concrete and objective, or was it subjective based on your beliefs? And that's just the way you interpreted what happened once you entered some realm beyond anything you could have experienced. Is that just what you interpreted as what you saw and did?
Right. And with Elder Scrolls, there isn't this nebulous concept of, you know, what you believe, like if it were real life, where there's nobody from the afterlife. You can't experience that and then like have a good way to talk about it, because you're not talking to ghosts or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the games, these afterlives concretely exist. So like there are multiple options, where in real life, it's a lot of you need to have faith in whatever it is you choose to believe in. And you could possibly think there's more than one option or not. There could only be one.
But we have no way of concretely proving any of that.
Like, correct.
Like, whereas we never will. Right.
Because it is a game that you can physically play, and they can make the rules as they see fit. You literally know these places exist. You go to them, you survive. Right. You can come back. You right. talk to other but, people who have and haven't. Like,
but do we concretely know, or do we only know that we had the subjective experience through that person's perspective?
Sure.
Of something that they were interpreting of being that thing.
Right. It's just more so that the thing has an existence, like Sovereign Guard is, but then like
he must have gone somewhere. Right.
Exactly.
We know that the Dovahkiin went and did something.
Right. But it's like, you know, are the far shores literally like a tropical island? Well, I don't, maybe that's where the interpretation comes in. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, is there a giant Viking mead hall for the Nords? I don't know. Like, you know, that could be more to your point, where there's an interpretation to it from what people see. But the place exists, you know, depending upon which version you're going to or whatever.
So maybe the Dreamsleeve is the universal place that all souls go, but the interpretation of the experience of it is based on cultural teachings.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Could be.
I don't know. Well, I think we're kind of at the end here, because that's about all we have on that. Like I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on this, because it is so vague, and there may be references to some of this that we haven't found, because again, it's one of those tiny little topics that comes up every so often in some random little places. So
right.
Maybe there's more to this than I was able to find in doing my research, or Lotus was able to find in doing his research, or we can recall from playing through these games, because they're gigantic. So if you want to chime in with some of your thoughts, we'd love to hear you. You know, and your thoughts on the Robots Radio Discord, or send us some messages on Twitter at Lotus of Doom for Lotus, at Robots_Radio for me. And Lotus, you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
Oddly enough, one of the things I actually wanted to do, because I don't usually have like a shout out thing, but as a Patreon of the show and of Ark's other show related to New World, and I was going to say all of the stuff over at Dungeon Crawler Network, I streamed the new dungeons that just dropped, as we made a little reference to at the start, like I might have been the pre-show. Mm-hmm. We streamed those last night for launch, and we went through, beat them both on vet, did some of the hard modes, super fun. Honored, you know, Rich Lambert actually ended his stream, raided in with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, you had a crazy, end. Crazy, crazy party.
Yeah, he brought in several hundred people in the middle of us doing the finale of the harder of the two dungeons on vet. And that was quite a distraction because we didn't look anything up. So we were trying to figure all of this out as we were going. And then it was like, surprise, now there's several hundred people watching you try to do this on the fly. So we're like, ah, oh, crap.
Time to get good.
It made it super amusing. And the reason I bring this up is because I actually wanted to shout out that there are a lot of people, but just because I know he listens to the show and is a supporter of yours and ARC's is... I wanted to thank Noodle Al Dente for hanging out last night in stream with me and sub-bombing my chat the second we beat the finale. Aww. Like we beat it.
Nice.
So all of that goes to Extra Life, which is the charity that I like to try to support each year. Mm-hmm. And it was very nice of Noodle to do that. So I just wanted to give my own Noodle shout out this week. That was very thoughtful. A lot of people were very pleased that they had all the like emotes and fun stuff that come as a result as well. But just thanks for that. Appreciate it. Goes to a good cause.
That's awesome. Noodle's awesome. Noodle's really, really awesome and has been a supporter of the show for so long now and so many other wonderful creators.
To all the people that I either met last night or everybody, I was going to say several of you were in chat, like Tim Tor and stuff like that. Appreciate all you hanging out. Hope you had fun. I know some of you were actually doing the dungeons off to the side separately at the same time I was. So you were just kind of like keeping me on the side thing to listen to us screaming and exploding and everything. But then at the same time, same way we were doing it, they were looking to try to do everything themselves to figure it out, because that's a lot of the fun of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's I love watching streamers while they play games. It's super fun. That's great. That's what's so fun about the community. I know Rich's streams have been a lot of fun. He's such a nice guy. He answers so many questions. He's so patient with the community, and he's been getting such awesome big crowds of people just kind of hanging out.
Yes. So Rich, I mean, as everybody knows from when Rich joined us on the show, Rich is very good at just kind of having a good chat, and he plays Elder Scrolls online quite a bit, yeah. Which sometimes people always wonder, do these people even play their own game? And right. The answer is yes.
Yes, they do.
at least with relation to Elder Scrolls Online, any of the devs I know, they all play very differently, but they all play, which is kind of amusing.
Yeah, just like any of us. Like, we all play differently.
Exactly. Yeah. But his streams are very good. He's slash lurk for anybody who does not know. He has a lot of people join his streams because pretty much anything he can say without spoiling like an upcoming something that they're trying to keep under wraps,
right,
he will candidly talk about. And as a result of that, at least in my experience, because I do like to drop by and keep Rich's stream up when he's live, is because he will respectfully answer things, and they know when something is wrong with the game.
Oh yeah.
A lot of times, like they find out about it and they're like, oh, okay, well, that's good to know. But like, they don't dance around it a lot. And I mean, we got that same impression when we interviewed Rich, or when we've had Gina or anything on, or Finn on Tales of Tamriel. They don't pretend that the game just is the greatest thing ever and nothing ever goes wrong. It's just like, no, this was a bad, this didn't work as we intended, we changed it, or this is something people didn't like, we changed it, blah, blah, blah. And because they're so candid about it, people know they can ask real questions, and provided they can, they'll give you an actual answer. You might not like it, but like, yeah, you'll at least get it. So it's, I don't know. It's a communication I've never really experienced in any of the other communities I've played prior to Elder Scrolls. It's kind of strangely unique to this environment.
Yeah. Well, you have to respect honesty, you know, like just transparency and honesty, and that's the best you can do.
Yeah.
When you're creating a product of any sort, is to just be honest and respectful with your community and the people who are, you know, purchasing and using your product. There's no reason not to be.
Right. Right.
You're doing the best you can. Just be honest and respectful. And
yep.
And if people don't think you're being honest with them, well, you know, I mean, they have the right to think that, but
yeah, exactly. But then, you know, you get, take with it what you will at that point. So
right. So, yeah, it's you guys should go check out his streams. He's doing some awesome stuff over there.
Yep.
And, say hi from us.
Yeah, he runs with viewers a lot if you have any interest. Or he does pugs, which have been very entertaining. He'll slowly teach people how to do something if they're new to it. Like, it's very different than what you would expect from a game dev to be doing with their own game, actually. It's just... Mm-hmm. Having fun playing it and kind of just chatting with everybody.
Yeah, but it really genuinely shows that he understands the game. He enjoys the game. He probably plays the game more than many of the people who are watching him play.
Yeah, which, he also posts a much better VMA score than I can post.
which is just awesome. You know, it just goes to show these guys know what they're talking about. Like,
yes.
So many players have such a sense of like entitlement when it comes to these games. And they're like, these developers must not play their games. They don't know. And it's like,
wait until you work.
Yeah. Wait until you work for a game developer, then maybe talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Well, thanks for joining me again. And you guys know where to find all our stuff, robustradio.net. One other thing I wanted to note before we end the show, I am in the process of untangling the Robots Radio YouTube channel. So I've created a singular Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel. It doesn't have its own YouTube channel name yet because I have to get to a certain status with numbers of subscribers and all of that. So the video version of this podcast will go up there directly. And I'm in the process of slowly moving over all the old videos onto that channel. So every day, one of the old videos gets moved over. And when this video goes up, it goes directly to that channel. So I'll continue posting notifications about that. It's going to take a few months to move all that stuff up. There are limitations for YouTube for how many videos you can upload every day. And it also takes a while for me to manually do all of that. So it's going to take a while. I'm going to do about a video a day for a while. But go check out that channel. There will be links on my Twitter account and on the regular YouTube. I'm putting up notifications every week when the new video goes up. You'll see the little, you know how YouTube, you can put the little comment up with like a link instead of a video.
Yeah, you can
post like a little message. There'll be messages with links and stuff, so pay attention for that. There's also a link in the show notes to the new YouTube channel, so if you want to follow that or subscribe to that channel, it would be very helpful. It's hard to get new channels started on YouTube because YouTube assumes that new channels are not worth anything. So if you want to help me out, please go subscribe to the new Elder Scrolls Lorecast channel. And so that's what I've got going on. And also, please go check out the new stuff I've got for merch on the Patreon. I think you guys are going to love it. I spent a good amount of time working on those t-shirts. I think you guys are going to love those. So thanks again for everybody for listening and being here. We'll be back next week with another regular episode. And we've got, what is it, the 9th already? Holy crap. We're already like a third of the way through the month. But
madness.
Yeah, this month ends on a Thursday. So we've still got 3 more weeks until the patron episode. So we've still got a few more weeks before that's going to happen. So we got a few more regular episodes and then the patron episode. So we'll see you guys next week. Everybody stay safe. We'll see you later. Bye, everyone.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. If you have something you'd like to contribute to the show, please reach out to us at elderscrollslorecast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @ESOLorecast. I really appreciate you listening, and I'd love to hear from you soon.
You've been listening to the Robots Radio Podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Ahoy there, ye landlubbers. Avast, my name is Captain Logan, and I'll be your guide out on the Sea of Thieves. If you love the idea of stealing treasure, cutting down cursed skeletons, fighting off krakens, and raiding forts filled to the brim with shinies, then Sea of Thieves is the game for you. Join me each week as I dive into the news and bring back the nuggets of information that any sailor worth their weight in salt would desire. You don't have to be a pirate legend to gain access to my podcast. Just search for Keelhauled, a Sea of Thieves podcast in your podcast app of choice, or head over to robotsradio.net or captainlogan.podbeam.com and get ready to set sail for adventure. Arr.
My name is Brian Burton. It's been 26 years since the bombs fell. And since I've left the vault, I've been trying to rebuild. But this isn't the Appalachia that I remember. There's so much more to everything going on. And I promise to find the answer. So if you're out there, if you're listening, just hone in on these coordinates. Remember, there's a place for you at the end. Omega.
The Omega Broadcast Fallout Story is available on iTunes, Spotify, and many great podcasting sources.